You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
And I'm excited about being here and us all gathered here this morning, because I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do amongst us and through us this morning. In many ways, the Lord's been preparing us to bring us to this point. If you think back to the series that we have just finished, and if you're a visitor, that series was looking at each week we looked at the attributes, one of the attributes of God. And of course, we couldn't look at all of them, but we looked at 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever it was. And each week it was like God was revealing a little bit more of himself, showing us something of him in a new way to prepare us and bring us to this point this morning. And as we launch out of that wonderful series, where each week we would reflect on, because this is what we've learned about God, this is who God is in his nature and essence, this, well, we had to ask ourselves the question, because of that, how now shall we live? What shall we do in our daily lives because we know this of God? And each week, that picture of God was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like he's brought us to this point. And he's catching us up in this moment and building excitement, I hope, into our hearts and minds for the rest of 2024. But there's been other ways that he's been preparing us over the recent past to bring us to this point. And I want to remind us of a few of those ways so that we can all get caught up in this story. And the first one is the refurbishment of Waydon Christian Center. If you're visiting, that's our hall that is just sort of 5 minutes drive away. And this was a major event in the church, an important part in the way that God's been preparing us. He has taken an old, tired, and smelly building and made all things new. Waydon Christian Center is now an inviting, beautiful space that we like to go to. It wasn't always that way. And already people have been thinking of creative ways of using it. We've got the barista training this afternoon. I'll come on to what's that. But in many ways, when you think of it, the refurbishment of Waydon Christian Center is like a prophetic picture to us as a church. Now, I'm not saying that we were an old, tired, and smelly church, but I am saying that he is making all things new. And in his recreation, we find new purpose, new passion, and new plans. And so it is with us as a church. In many ways, it's not just about a refurbishment of a building a few minutes away, it's about a picture of what God is doing with us as a church. Leading on from that, Claire Mormon had a word for us, a word of encouragement for the church earlier this year, and she said, "The fields are ripe for harvest, but please don't just feed yourself." With all that's happening here at Jubilee, we need to be intentional about being a faithful presence in the world in such a way that we glorify God and make him known. So it's not just about us enjoying the new Waydon Christian Center. There is a harvest that is out there. And then a number of us went down to the Commission Leadership Conference in March, and there the Lord spoke to us, and it really impacted those that were there, about remembering the poor, serving the vulnerable, and connecting with the disengaged and the disenfranchised. It really had a big impact on us. You see all the ways that the Lord's preparing us, getting us ready for what he's calling us to in 2024 and beyond. There's also the launching of LifeSpring Church, Borden and Whitehill. Now, if you're newer to Jubilee, you may not even know that we had a church out there, but probably, how many years is it? 10 years? 10 years ago, we sent a team out to Borden. It was Jubilee church, Borden and Whitehill, and they have just become an independent church in the last, starting in the financial year. They've got all the charity stuff, and they're going to have a launch in the next couple of weeks. And so with that happening, an extended season of multi-site church planting, where Borden was launched and also Hope Church Aldershot was launched, both of them now independent churches, is transitioning. That season is transitioning to a new season of growth and adventure here at Jubilee Church Farnham. With the leading role that Sean plays across the town in bringing the churches together, we're seeing God's blessing on us for unity and making much of the name of Jesus. And then also finally, when we look back over the years of teaching into, investing in, and chasing after God's heart for a church of all nations, tribes, and languages. We've been doing that for years and years and years. We are so profoundly grateful to God for the number of nations that are among us and continuing to be added to us. And you can see over the years and then over the recent past, God's been preparing us. And I could keep going, but for time, I need to move on. But I hope you can see what God has been doing amongst us. And so today we launch a new sermon series. But in a way, it's more than simply a new sermon series. It's about all of us being caught up to the wonderful adventure that God is calling us to right now. And there are four words that I want us to think of as, if you like, anchors for our activity, or signposts to our destination, and pillars for the year. And these words are building, serving, connecting, and reaching. And we've created a little infographic for you, which we're going to hand out at some point. And it gives you a little bit of information about that. And then on the backside, it's got a timeline through the year. And what I'm going to do is, as we go through each of those areas, I'm going to weave in our preaching theme for that particular area and how it lands then within the year. So let's begin first and foremost with building. We could do that. Why don't we do that? Without getting too distracted by them. So Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says that he will build his church. Jesus is the chief architect and builder of his church. And we, each one of us in this church, are an instrument in his hand that contribute to the magnificent building he is creating. It's a masterpiece. And we always need to remember, who is building the church? Jesus is. And what is it that he is building? And this is where it gets awesome. And this is where, if you know me at all, this is where my passion for the church really lies, in the type of church that Jesus is building. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul lays it out. The Apostle Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says to them, up until the point that Paul was writing, there had been a mystery that was concealed in God. And if you read chapter 3, I'd encourage all of you to go home and read chapter 3. It explains there is a mystery concealed in God. But now Paul has been given insight into what that mystery is. So he's developing the story. He said there's a mystery that's been there, something that's concealed in God. And then verse 6, Paul speaks really clearly about what that mystery is. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise. The Gentiles, the nations, all those that were formerly outside of God's people are now fellow heirs, fellow members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise. And it goes even further than that. In verse 10 and 11, this is what Paul says about the church. His intent, that's God's intent, was that now, And this is really key for all of us to get. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that is accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God and his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. And then finally, we also see in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "After this I looked, and there before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And this is the church that God will use to demonstrate, to express, and if you like, to magnify the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's amazing. It's through the church that God has chosen to do this. The manifold wisdom, what does that mean? It's the many-faceted wisdom, that, like a diamond has many facets on it. And you look at it and you can see different aspects of its beauty as you look around. And you keep looking and you catch another facet. And it's wonderful. And it keeps drawing you into its beauty. And it's through the church that God will demonstrate that wisdom to the world. And this, all according to his eternal purposes in Christ Jesus. Therefore, when we proclaim here at Jubilee that Jesus is building a church, and that church will be for all nations and ages and peoples and languages, we're not talking about a neat club that takes up Sundays and maybe a day in the week. We're talking eternal purposes of God. We're talking about displaying the manifold wisdom of God to the nations. And we're talking about participating in his eternal promise and purpose. And so when we talk about that church, we talk about being built into a community. And get that. Think about this. Reflect on yourself before you even look around at anyone else. It gets even more hilarious when you start to look around the room. But think of this. Through the church, that's us, somehow, in some way, we display to the world the manifold wisdom of God. Oh my goodness, people. That's pretty amazing, right? Unless there's a few of us thinking, yeah, I do that. Maybe. I don't know. But I find it so amazing. I think of myself and what? And I look around and I think, we do somehow? Stumbling and falling and getting up again and experiencing grace and praising him and coming together and somehow we do that? Oh, it's utterly amazing. Are you looking for an adventure? Surely all of us are looking for an adventure in life. I dare any of us to find something more exciting than that, being participating in that as an adventure. It's utterly breathtaking. It's utterly countercultural, purposeful, and utterly worthy of giving your life into. Because that's what we do in life, don't we? We exchange our life in what we're involved in for something. And God's invitation to all of us is to say, come and be a part of this amazing story, this amazing picture that I am building, that you can be then just demonstrating and displaying the manifold wisdom of God. And you can be part of the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus. You start to feel a little bit different sitting in these chairs, don't you? Danny, bless you, brother. It's why we say on this infographic, which I'll hand out, it has been handed out, good. We say under building, in an age of tribalism, And I hope you understand what we mean by that. It's where tribes in community, in our culture, tribes in society are pitted against each other. And you can think of it politically. This last week, you can see it. Socially, educationally, youth against older people, working class against middle class. It's an age of polarization and separation. Jesus is building his church globally and here at Jubilee from every tribe and people and language into one body, unified under and worshiping the King of Kings. It's amazing, isn't it? When our world is pulling itself apart into its separate tribes, Jesus is bringing all the tribes and languages and peoples and nations and ages together in unity and beauty to display the manifold wisdom of God. It's so wonderful. And as we go through this infographic on each of those words, each of those anchors for activity, we've tried to capture a sentence which tries to describe the importance of that particular word. So we've just read the one on building. And you see, what we're talking about and what we're trying to do here is illustrate and emphasize the distinctness of the church within the world. Because the church needs to be an alternative community to the world. And I hope we understand that. The church is a city on a hill, and it has to, a beacon of light to the nations. And for it to be so, it's got to be different. And it has to provide an alternative to the world for how life is meant to live. It shows, it demonstrates, and in our lives we display a different story and we call people into that story. And what's more, Jubilee Church is to be a faithful presence in the world. Super, super important. We've got it at the bottom of this first page. A faithful presence in the world, not a community that separates out of the world. We are not called to that. We're called to be a faithful presence within. Loving God, loving others, becoming like Jesus, a distinct alternative community, glorifying God and making him known in the world. And that's what we do together. That's what we're called to. And not only will we celebrate the nations among us, but we want to be intentional here at Jubilee about shaping how we exist as a community by who we are as a community. It's not a matter of just celebrating the nations. It's the nations who make us up that begins to shape who we are and how we do things and how we do life together. It shapes our practice. It shapes our services, shapes our serving and our connecting and our reaching. It means that if Jubilee is your home, if we are your people, and maybe some of you are on a journey to that, and that's great. We love welcoming people in and helping them find their place. And we pray and hope that it is Jubilee. But if we're your people, then you're invited to find your place and fulfill your purpose in the context of a church of all nations and ages and peoples and languages. That's what you'll find here. That's what we are going to be intentional about. And that is the context that this community lives and breathes and has its being. And that's why we say we are welcoming all people, helping them find their place, discover their purpose in God as Jesus builds his church from every tribe and every language. I'm just going to do a short, like a straw poll. Just really quickly to give us an idea of what's happening, and there are many away, but just to get a sense of the nations among us. So, if you're from Africa, stand up. There we go. Okay, so we've got some South Africans, we've got some Zimbos, we've got some Nigerians. Anyone else? Have I missed anyone else? Zambia. There we go. Right, good. Okay, keep standing. Okay, we've obviously got to do the four nations of the United Kingdom, but I'm only going to let one, all right? One representative. So, Scotland, Wales, where's Sarah? Sarah's at the back, great. Northern Ireland, great. And Sean, why don't you be England?
And Dave, you always tell me that the North's a different country, so you can stand up for Yorkshire. Bless you. Right, we've got England. Republic of Ireland, anyone? I'm sure we had someone. No? Okay. Southeast Asia, Korea, Hong Kong. There are some amongst us. I know they might not be here. Here we go. Yeah, that's fine. We've got Koreans. We've got Taiwan. The Lows are from Hong Kong. Neil, you can stand for Australia. We get two that way. I like that. anyone from New Zealand? Yeah, no, that's understandable. I didn't say that. Europe, Armenia. Come on. Yeah. Anyone else from Europe? Any other European nations? Bangladesh. Yes, Mattia, Bangladesh we've got. India, Pakistan, Sweden, the Americas. We'll call that Canada as well. And we've got Aaron from America. Can you see? And there's so many of us that actually aren't here. Can you see that God has been building the nations into us? Thank you all. Let's give ourselves a round of applause there. And this, you see, the church, we are all made in the image of God. And therefore, because we're made in the image of God, there is a deposit of God that goes into each of the races and cultures and nations and tribes and languages. And therefore, the church that is full of all of those displays his manifold wisdom in such a beautiful way. It's amazing. And so to help us on this preaching series, the first part of the year, we're going to launch a preaching series called Unlikely Heroes. It's actually the name of the preaching series that the kids are going through in Blaze. It's not exactly the same, but we're linking up the title and the sense of it. And we're going to go through and look at some of those unlikely heroes in the Bible that helped bring about this church. So we're going to look at Paul, Hebrew of Hebrews, to the apostle to the Gentiles, unlikely. Peter. We're going to look at that at our family service in a couple of weeks' time. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Ruth, and then we're going to do a deep dive down into Ephesians 3 to explain this mystery and all of its beauty. And then the preaching series will culminate at the Waverley Woods weekend, where we will celebrate what God is doing amongst us as a community. There are going to be flags on display. There's going to be talent from the nations. So everyone start thinking. We've done Jubilee Talent, Got Talent. It's going to be slightly different this year. If you've got a talent, if you've got a song, a dance, some poetry maybe, whatever it is that you feel that would be from your nation and be a blessing to the rest of us, then let's see what Jubilee looks like. Jubilee's got talent. Wonderful. We're going to have food from around the world. It's going to be an amazing time. So just get ready for that. And I encourage all of us to step into this sense of being unlikely heroes. Because you might think of yourself saying, well, I don't know if that's me. I don't know if that's me. But then did Paul think that? Did Peter think that? Did the church coming together in the way that mystery was revealed, did they, the people of God think that? Be open, I say, be open and see how God might use you. Moving on, the next pillar, the next anchor, serving. In a recent elders meeting, Neil just had a strong sense and prompting from God about being intentional to make space in our lives to serve God and serve others. It was such a good moment. It was such an important hearing and prompting from God. Life is busy, isn't it? Life is so, so busy. And if we aren't intentional, we're going to run the risk of the busyness just taking over. So being intentional to make space and serving. Let's have a look at this. Jesus said in Mark, here we go. Mark 10, verse 42 to 45, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. It's the foundation of who he is and actually of how we follow him. Our attitude and posture must be one of that of a servant. And Jesus, in that passage, contrasts his way to other rulers that lord it over them. And Jesus' words 2,000 years ago to his disciples are just as relevant as they are to us today. And so often power is misused and abused. And that's why we say under serving, in an age that so often misuses power, Jesus is calling us to serve. Can you see that distinctness, that contrast, that faithful presence within? We don't come to lord it over, we come to serve. It's about posture to God, to each other, and to the world. It's about how we approach and how we engage and what we see our purpose is. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, each of you, talking to the church, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So you've received a gift. It's varied in form across the church. And we're called, instructed to use it as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Isn't that wonderful? When you're serving, when you're laying out the chairs, when you're setting up coffee, when you're in the worship band, when you're leading a group, whatever you're doing amongst us, whatever you're doing out in the world, when you're serving, you are a steward of God's grace in its various form. It's amazing. And so there'll be new and continuing ways to serve at Jubilee in 2024. We've already had conversations with people about a refresh cafe at Waden Christian Center to serve the new parents in the area, utilizing Waden Christian Center and the gift you have. Nikki and Laura and Allison and the team serve families with children with additional needs through When Dreams Change and our sofa group. Avane and the team do an amazing job in the den serving our local families. Each Sunday here, various teams set up, worship, welcome, hospitality. Just so many opportunities that continue and new ones that will be emerging. And so many of you joyfully serve, and we are so, so grateful to you. And for those of you who are serving, we just want to express our thanks. And for those of you perhaps newer, or maybe you've been in a season where you haven't been serving, hear my encouragement. If Jubilee is where God is planting you, then he's inviting you this morning. Use the prompt of this sermon to just pray and ask God, do you want me to serve? Where and when? And if you're new to Jubilee, then understand that our culture here, it's never obligation. Serving is never obligation. It's a joyful part of our worship. It's always invitation. So we don't want pressure. We don't want any of that. But we recognize that the Lord places us in a church. And we're using our gifts to help build up that church, to bring him glory and be for our good. And we'll continue on in our Unlikely Heroes preaching theme, but we will pivot from building to serving. And we're going to look at the stories of the Good Samaritan, at Tabitha, a disciple who was always doing good and helping the poor, Esther, a life of sacrifice for the benefit of other people, and finally Lydia in Acts 16. These unlikely heroes, again, spurring us on to serve others and serve God. And by doing so, change the world. Can you see what God's doing amongst us? Next, connecting. In an age of spiritual decline, Jesus is calling us to grow and flourish in community. This means helping people connect with God, connect into community, and be formed into Christ-likeness.
To grow and properly flourish, we need community. That's part of the role and function of the church. It's in community that we discover our gifts and we learn about our calling. We knock off some of our rough edges and find opportunities to fulfill that calling. And to this end, in September, we're going to be launching what we've called Transformational Pathways to help people on their journey to Christlikeness and connecting into community. And these transformational pathways will include several avenues for us to pursue depending where you are on your spiritual journey. And so to give you a sense of what I'm talking about, if you've never done this, whether you're a new Christian or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but gone through a process of laying down foundations of the faith. Sometimes, you know, we can just sort of come to faith, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we sort of find ourselves in a church, and it's more by osmosis than anything that we sort of discover what's going on, and we sort of begin to learn a few things. But there's another way where we can lay the foundation for people. And if that's you, and sometimes I say maybe that's for new Christians, but also if you haven't had that, if you like structured process, I don't really like to call it that, it's the wrong language, but you know what I mean, then anyone would be welcome to that. And we're going to call that foundations. But maybe you've had the foundations laid already, then perhaps our follow pathway is for you. And the aim of this one is once the foundations are laid, then we start to work that out. How do we follow Jesus in our lives? What does it mean to lay down my life and pick up my cross daily? How do I do that? How do I do that in my job, in my family, in my workplace, at school, at college? All of these questions. What do I do with my time and my talent and my treasure in the life of following Jesus? So if the foundation's been built, this follow course, if you like, is building the house that we live in. And then those who perhaps been of faith a little longer, how do you keep growing? How do you keep passionately becoming more and more like Jesus and maturing in your faith year after year after year? It can be a challenge, can't it? I've been reading a book lately that's looking at what's called the critical journey, and it's they call it the stages of faith. And it maps this out, and I think there's some resonance to it. But there's stage four, the inward journey. And stage four has a moment where you hit the wall. Oh, I thought that's quite interesting. You've been a Christian for quite a long time. And there's this feeling of, I'm stuck. I'm hitting this wall, but I can't see it. I don't know what's happening. And it's often this process of looking inward, the dark night of the soul, where we reflect, what do I really believe? What's deep down in my heart? And then it's pushing through that into fruitfulness and faithfulness. And that might be where you are, and that will be our fruitful and faithful pathway. And the image I want for us to have in our heads as we approach September, as we approach these transformational pathways, is that of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. They were walking with Jesus, literally on the road with Jesus. And as they were reflecting on their time with him, they said in verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures? And that's the image that we want. On the road with Jesus, where his presence and his word and his power is burning inside of us.
Danny, help me here, brother. Come on.
just see what he's calling us to, wherever we are on our journey, to constantly be moving towards him. And then finally, reaching. In an age of bad news, Jesus is calling us to share the good news. I think people, we get this, don't we? Scrolling through your feeds or reading the headlines, the world is full of bad news. And if we're not careful, that bad news can be overwhelming.
But we as a community on a mission have received the good news, and each one of us are ambassadors of that good news. And we want to take that good news and share it wherever we are, with our colleagues, our family members, our next door neighbors, our school gate drop-off fellows, our park run co-runners, our coffee drinkers, our pub goers. We take the good news with us wherever we go. And we want to be intentional about developing a culture where we all reach out to those around us with the good news. And if we're not careful, we can end up where we think about our evangelism as those good people over there that do alpha for us. And we need to be rather a church where all of us are ambassadors of the good news and taking that out to all those around us. And particularly to help you with that, on the 30th of June, we are joining with all the other Rethink churches in Farnham down at Waverley Abbey House for a service. It's going to be an inter-church service and then a fun day, and the focus of it is to pray for and launch the mission that will be happening in the autumn and in up to Christmas time. So all of the churches, whoops, we did it last summer as well, all of the churches coming together, we're going to pray, have a wonderful time. I wasn't here last year, but this year I'm sure we are going to win the tug of war. But you know, it'll be a fun afternoon and an all-age service in the morning. And that will then lead in November and December. We will be hosting and participating in various events to share the good news. And it will all then work towards culminating in a carol concert in Gostrey Meadows with the other churches, where J. John will be coming to share a message called Christmas Unwrapped. And then, of course, on top of that, we'll be having our carol concert and our nativity service and Christmas cafe. So it's all there for the taking. We've mapped out the year from now until Christmas time. It's the year to be intentional, 2024. You and I can be unlikely heroes as we come together, fulfilling the mission, plan, and purposes of God for Jubilee in our building, in our serving, in our connecting, in our reaching, for the glory of God. Let me pray, and then I'll hand over to Sean. Lord God, we thank you for what you have been preparing us for. We thank you for all that you're doing amongst us. We thank you for the way that you are building us as a people and a community. Lord, as we reflect on all that you're calling us to, help us, Lord, to be caught up in your story, the ultimate story, the story that navigates our lives. Help us to see the church that you're building. And help us to be willing participants in that. Help us in our serving and our connecting and becoming Christ-like. And help us in our reaching out, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you start to work in the hearts of people, drawing them maybe to one or multiple of those, just drawing them in and letting excitement and joy bubble up in their lives. So, Lord, we entrust the rest of the year to you. We thank you for it. We ask, come and work mightily through us. Build that beautiful church that you have spoken about in your scriptures. And do it all, Lord, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.